As Christians, I think we're probably pretty clear, certainly you have likely heard it said, that our call is to put God first in our lives. That everything that we do and think, everything in our hearts should first be focused on God. While that is true, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes it's not always so clear what that means. How do we discern God's will for our lives? How do we know that God might be calling us in a particular way, to go a particular direction, to do particular things? Certainly one of those ways is to regularly and faithfully come before God in prayer. Having that dedicated time where we open ourselves, where we make that space, that quiet, to be attentive, to let God speak as God will, to let God come and help us discern what God's will might be, to take that time to put our will away and to listen for God. Doing this, I think, requires a certain kind of honesty. It can be tempting to come into the presence of God thinking we might be able to just keep one or two small details of our lives off to the side, not focus on those. Perhaps God won't notice. Have little things that maybe we're not so proud of, places we're not ready yet to open up to God. Martin Smith, who's an Episcopal priest and does spiritual direction, says that in his work with people, he sometimes feels that people are treating God like an elderly clergyman invited to tea. They're being very formal, following the rules, not being too self-revelatory, and certainly not talking about anything controversial. And yet the reality is God knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows what's in our hearts. God knows who we are. And it's in honestly coming before God that we can have that full relationship with God and come to know fully God's will for us. Today's lessons, I think, have some wonderful examples of that kind of honesty. In our first lesson, we have the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has a hard job. He's been sent as a prophet to the people to preach a very unpopular message. He's telling them that destruction's coming. They're going to be overrun. Pay attention, return to God. In Jeremiah's own day, there are other prophets coming, and they're preaching a much more acceptable, palatable message. Earlier in the book, Jeremiah says, they come preaching peace, peace. Not surprisingly, those prophets are popular. Jeremiah, who never felt worthy, who never wanted this call, has been given this charge of God, and he is not popular. He has persecutors. People wish to do him harm. They want him silenced. They want him out of the way. Eventually, he finds himself even thrown in a well for his words. So in our lesson today, he comes before God and says, God, you've got to do something. Go after my persecutors. And he's coming to the point of being unable to do what God is asking him to do. What I find fascinating in this is that he speaks honestly to God. He tells God about the insults he has suffered, and he even goes so far as to accuse God of unfaithfulness. That God is like a brook that has failed, whose waters have dried up. Can you imagine saying that to God? Absolute honesty. Now, God could have responded in many different ways, including getting angry or punishing Jeremiah in some way, but God listens. And God beckons that Jeremiah return to his work, that God promises he will take him back and, in fact, sustain him. That God is with him and will save him and deliver him. Jeremiah is honest, even criticizing God. God listens, and then God invites Jeremiah back, promising protection, promising to save him. And so Jeremiah continues his mission. Ultimately, Jeremiah is being called to give up his own desire for his will to be done, and to follow God's will, to be centered on God's will, to give up his need for a self-centered life, and to have a God-centered life. In our gospel this morning, we heard about Peter, continuation of last week's gospel. Now last week, you may remember, Peter was called the rock, that foundation of the church, with the authority to bind and to loose. What a difference a week makes. For this week, Peter's gone from being that rock to being the one who, though he knows Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he's not sure about this mission. For Jesus tells him in today's gospel, the mission is to go on to Jerusalem, where he will suffer, be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter, however, pulls Jesus aside and says, God forbid it. How can the Messiah die? Now, I don't think we can fault Peter too much. The Messiah was understood in Peter's day to be the one who would deliver the people from all their enemies, who would cast off the yokes of oppression, who would finally get rid of that occupier Rome. If the Messiah dies, how can that happen? Peter can't take in the part about resurrection. That doesn't make sense to him. Even when he and the first followers of Jesus experience resurrection, you may remember, they're not sure what to make of it, to trust it. Peter's not ready to hear that part. And so he, in his mind, thinks the only way that this plan can happen is if the Messiah lives. Well, Jesus responds very strongly, calling him, saying to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Using that same kind of language we heard Jesus use in the wilderness. At that very time in the wilderness when Satan comes and tempts Jesus away from his mission. There's a way in which Peter is tempting Jesus. Satan is acting through Peter, saying, "You have a way out, Jesus." But Jesus says, "No." Jesus is about doing the will of God. And so Peter moves from being the rock, the foundation of last week, to this week being the stumbling block. The rock in the road that is in the way that is impeding the mission of Jesus. And so Jesus tells Peter to get behind and follow him, to not be putting obstacles in the way. Jesus then goes on to use this as an opportunity to teach about discipleship. This part of Matthew's gospel is a part where everything becomes focused on moving to Jerusalem, moving to the cross, to death, and ultimately to resurrection. And Jesus is teaching his disciples that just as he is going and will carry his cross, so they must carry their cross as well. They must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Some of Jesus' first followers, of course, would indeed walk that very way of the cross. Probably unlikely that you and I will literally be killed for our faith here in North America. But the reality is, at heart, this message of Jesus is about denying oneself, about letting go of the need for self-will and self-control, and putting God at the center, following God's will. So taking up the cross is giving over one's life to God. And that life of God is that life Jesus lived, that life of humbly serving others. No matter what the response, no matter even if they ridicule or threaten to hurt you, to accept that, but to know the call is to be about humble service, not reflecting the temptations of the world's values with their illusory promises that do not bring abundant life. So ultimately, we're called as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to a life of sacrifice. Not a popular message, not something we hear spoken about in our popular culture. Sacrifice is not what our culture is about. Our culture is about instead self-centered ambitions, about goals of collecting lots of things, money, power. It's not of letting go. It's not of service. So if we're to follow faithfully, walking that way of Jesus, of self-serving sacrifice, of humbly serving others, how do we do it? How do we do it in this economic age of great economic inequality, of rampant consumerism? How do we respond to that? How are we called to live? How do we determine what really is enough and what is just temptation of our consumerist culture? How are we to respond to the realities produced by that growing economic disparity, to communities which are full of people who are hungry, who don't have affordable housing, who don't have jobs which give them income they can support themselves and their families? As followers of Jesus, how do we respond to that need? What is our call? And as followers of Jesus, our response to creation is to be stewards. We're called to care for creation. Everything God made was made in love and entrusted to our care. And we're called further to give a percentage of what we have been given to others for their care, for their nurture, that everyone might have what they need. That's not the message of our world. That message of caring for creation and giving away what we have for others. The message we're told around us is, hold on to everything. Take care of myself and my family. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to cross those boundaries that divide us. We're called to welcome the stranger, to go to places where we might be uncomfortable, but to go recognizing in all we meet, beloved children of God. Again, contradicting the message we're told, but as followers of Jesus, we're to walk that way that he has walked. We're even to follow him as he leads us into the unknown, even if we have self-doubt about our abilities, as Jeremiah did, even if we have fear or confusion, as Peter did, even to go into places of suffering, but to know that Jesus goes before us, he who walked the way of the cross. He knows what it is to encounter human suffering and difficulty. And also he who passed from death through to resurrected and new life gives us that same promise that at the end we too will be brought to share in that eternal life. So on this day, may we follow Jesus. May we get behind and go where he would have us go, into the unknown. May we stifle our self-doubt and fear, trusting in him and being faithful in prayer, coming to God, opening ourselves in quiet and in honesty about who we are and what we need, and asking that God would fill us with that sense of God's will and direction for our lives. So may we always be honest, like Peter, like Jeremiah, even if we have hard things to say to God, listening for that answer, trusting that God will not kick us away, that God will love us no matter what we might say, that God always welcomes us back into full relationship. And may we walk the way of the cross, enduring whatever criticism we might receive from others, but being faithful in going that way, in humble and loving service, letting go of self, and putting God at the center of our lives. Amen.